What is protected activity? It is multidimensional, okay? It is participating in the EEOC process. Now, the other thing I think I mentioned in my paper, I hope I did, but if I didn't, go to the EEOC's website, www.eeoc.gov, and find the retaliation policy guidance that they issued. It's very well written, it's very detailed, and it's real easy read for, you know, HR to go and like teach their managers on. But they go into great detail about some of these pieces. So participating in the EEOC process itself, okay, not making, just participating in it. So, you know, you have an applicant or an employee, they file an EEOC complaint. It maybe it isn't in good faith. Maybe they were in a bad mood. It is the process and the act of participating in it that protects the activity. Does that make sense? Now, we can have a whole other discussion for another day about, you know, when people don't bring things in good faith and all that. That's a separate issue to deal with, but they still had a right to bring it, if that makes sense. You can't punish somebody for serving as a witness in an EEOC complaint. This happens a lot. And you know where it happens? It happens when a manager finds out that so-and-so has filed a complaint and he finds out that HR has interviewed, you know, people on his management team, and he all of a sudden starts, you know, treating them poorly because he perceives rightly or wrongly that they, you know, ratted on him or whatever you want to do it. But that whole situation is messed up. That manager is out of control doing that, and he shouldn't be doing that. And just no. You can't punish somebody for participating in it, even if it's unsuccessful. You know, again, people file complaints because they really perceive that they have been wrong. You know, but this is where that old adage, perception trumps reality, comes into place. The reality may be that, no, you know, this wasn't the reason why this happened to you, but that's not how they feel. And if they are acting on that perception, they are protected in the process of doing that. Can't punish somebody for participating in an internal investigation. I've had so many variations on a theme of this. One of them is, I had a manager about a couple of years ago. The company decided to beef up their 1-800 complaint line, which also served as their ethics hotline. So they were, you know, just sending out notices and stuff like, hey, everybody, we want you to know about the 1-800 number. So he would call meetings of his team, and every so often he would tell people, now, how many of you know the 1-800 number? And people were like, what do you mean? How? And the way it got back to HR was, it was like, has anybody in here ever called the 1-800 number? Because if you think you need to call it, you need to come to me first. No, that smacks of chain of command. And like, I don't have to come to you first. I can call the 1-800 number. And the fact that you are doing that is chilling my rights to not only make a complaint, but to help somebody else or participate in an investigation. That is classic retaliatory conduct, and based on a protected activity and participating in a protected activity. Other forms of protected activity. This person opposes an unlawful practice. So obviously the first one is a no-brainer. You're complaining, or you're threatening to complain about harassment. And what does that look like? You provide information in an internal EEO investigation. Now, here's something that has happened. I've had managers, let's say there's an internal investigation going on, and let's say they're on the third floor in the conference room, and HR is in there doing interviews and what have you, these employees. The manager will come back in the afternoon and ask the employees, like, well, what did y'all talk about? What did she ask you? What did you tell her? Okay, that is retaliatory conduct. And we have to train managers that, no, you don't get to ask people that question. And no, it's none of your business what they talked about with HR on that. So they can't do that. They're refusing to obey an order reasonably believed to be discriminatory. I've seen some variations of that. I think the last one I had was about maybe 2.5 years ago. And a manager got very upset when her manager told her, we need some more blondes around here. So make sure that you're screening these resumes because you know what I like. That happened. And she went to complain to HR about it. And he turned around. And I mean, he just tried to like totally submarine her career after that. Well, she didn't want to do discriminatory conduct. How about this one? Requesting a reasonable accommodation for a disability or religion. Managers get frustrated having to understand and navigate through the interactive process. But what we've got to train them to do is to not overreact when somebody makes a request for accommodation.